White letters appear on a black screen. Opening credits. A Middle Fork production. A Pierce Williams Entertainment production. A film by Richard Hara. The rough surface of the Earth is seen from space. A large river and its tributaries show as large cracks in the ground. A thin cloud drifts in. White letters emerge from a gray background. Title: The Canyon. A man is driving. His female passenger is asleep. They look to be in their mid-30s.
Hey, we're gonna make it.
What if you don't slow down?
Grand Canyon by sunrise, remember?
How could I forget?
The car enters a town. Credit: Aeon Bailey. A sign reads, "Welcome to Williams. Gateway to the Grand Canyon."
Here it is.
Cheap and clean. Can't ask more than that.
Credit: Yvonne Strahowski. They pull into the parking lot of the Arizona Motor Hotel as the sun rises. "Just married" is written on their rear window. Credit: Will Patton. The young newlyweds walk arm in arm to reception. The man opens the door.
"After you, Mrs. Conway."
"Thank you, Mr. Conway."
They ring for the clerk. The Conways glance at each other and shrug, peering further over the desk.
"Slow, but I'm not deaf.
I know it's early, but we were hoping that we could..."
"Don't tell me. Let me guess. You need a room. I'm psychic. It's a gift."
She slides over a slip of paper.
"So, where are you from?"
"Chicago. I thought you were psychic."
"It comes and goes."
"We're from Chicago. We just got married."
"We eloped. Can you believe it?"
"I'm beside myself with wonder."
"We're taking a mule trip into the Grand Canyon this weekend."
"Better you than me."
"You always this cheerful?"
"No, I'm usually a tad cranky. Room 3. Checkout is Monday at 11 in the a.m.
Picking up the keys, they walk out the door. The girl runs ahead and takes her husband's hand. Editor: Peter Fandetti. Music: Ator Pereira.
"What about the luggage?"
"It can wait. Mr. Conway?"
"Yes, Mrs. Conway."
"Say that again."
"What, Mrs. Conway?"
"I can't help it. I love the way it sounds."
"Get used to it."
"I don't ever want to get used to it."
They approach the door to room 3. She leaps into his arms and kisses him. He carries her over the threshold and closes the door. Clouds part, revealing the canyon below. Executive producer, Verna Hera. Sweeping aerial view of a deep red rock canyon, looking down on tall jagged rock spires. Produced by Mark Williams. Story by Steve Ulrich and Mark Williams. Written by Steve Ulrich. Directed by Richard Hara. The half-naked couple are on the bed. A picture of the canyon is on the wall opposite.
"So you're getting excited about tomorrow?"
"Am I excited about riding a smelly, ill-tempered beast into a big, dusty hole in the ground? Let me think."
"They're not that ill-tempered. And you get used to the smell."
"Oh, now that is something that I look forward to."
"Don't be such a pessimist. It's gonna be amazing."
"I've got an idea. Why don't we stay in bed all weekend and just look at the picture every once in a while?"
They kiss.
"No. Must resist. Must stick to plan. Must fuck. Let's get this show on the road."
The screen reads, "Friday." The couple run towards Williams Visitor Center. Mr. Conway talks with a ranger.
"You don't have a permit.
Well, you can't take a mule trip into the canyon without a backcountry permit.
Okay, where do you get a permit?
This is late May. The question isn't where, the question is when, and the answer is January. Early February at the latest. You could, try the ranger station at Grand Canyon Village, but I doubt they'll tell you anything different.
They walk out of the visitor center. Their car now heads down a highway lined with sparse trees. A brown sign points the way to a backcountry office. They turn.
Oh my God.
A cowboy leads a pack of mules down a trail. They pass a sign that reads, Backcountry Office Hiking Permits, Parking, No Through Traffic. They slow down near a building labeled, Ranger Operations. They speak to another ranger.
So you don't have any backcountry permits?
Sorry, you should have applied.
I know, I should have applied in January.
Early February at the latest.
Mr. Conway looks at his wife and turns away from the ranger. A sign reads, Package Goods, Cocktails, World Famous Sultana Bar.
He always was a seeker.
The newlyweds sit together at a bar.
Oh, you're right. Maybe it's just not meant to be.
Honestly, I think it's for the best.
Well, maybe it is. And then again, maybe it ain't.
I couldn't help but overhear it, seeing as I was eavesdropping and all, and I just want to say that I'm deeply moved by your dilemma.
Now, see, I'm not generally one to toot my own horn, but the fact of the matter is that I've done it all. I trapped beaver and I hunted bear and I panned for gold and I lived with the Indians and I've been struck by lightning. Twice. I've been buried by rock slides and I've been stung by scorpions and I've been mauled by a mountain lion and I even went a couple of rounds with a grizzly before he gave me this, but I took his left eye in return, so I guess you could say that we're even. And that ain't the half of it, my friend.
Who are you exactly?
I'm the answer to your prayers. Your name's Pritchard, folks. Henry Theodore Roosevelt Pritchard, guide extraordinaire. I got the mules, I got the gear, I got the know-how, and I got the huevos. And I'm hereby offering my expert services.
The husband slides down a seat to get closer.
Are you saying that you can take us down into the canyon?
Is a frog's ass water tank? See, I used to be a guide for one of those bigger outfits, but we had a falling out over what I guess you might call creative differences.
Can you get us a permit this late?
Oh, I can get you a permit. It's all a question of greasing the right palm.
Would you excuse us for just one second?
Well, sure. Take two. Live it up.
Yeah.
She pulls her husband away from the scruffy guide.
I think I saw him on America's Most Wanted.
The guy's just a little eccentric.
Eccentric is living in a house trailer with 37 cats, not stalking around with a meat cleaver strapped to your side.
Yeah, but he can get us a permit.
Eaten by a one-eyed bear is what he can get us.
We may never get another shot at this. We don't know how much time we have or where we're gonna end up. What if there aren't any other trips?
The guide looks back at them over his beer.
Okay, well, let's tell Grizzly Adams the news.
He leads his wife back to the bar.
So do we have a deal or do we have a deal?
Done.
You won't regret it, folks. Now, I hate to talk about this, but have a seat.
Saturday morning. The couple's Jeep parks on the dirt track. The guide and a Native American are standing by the mules.
He's saying that the crows are messengers and that one's speaking to us. Listen.
What's he saying?
Well, how should I know he's speaking crow?
Henry, I'm not here, Chloe.
And no pakai heck?
Did you get a permit?
Oh, yeah, I got it right here. Let's get your gear stowed away. I'm glad you made it.
She looks out over the craggy cliffs at the wide canyon. The guide and his horse head out, with the others close behind. Sign, warning. Entering the canyon without a National Park Service authorized guide is prohibited. Violators will be prosecuted.
I've never ridden a mule before, Henry.
You know how to ride a bicycle?
Yeah.
Well, this ain't nothing like that.
The pack descends a steep, crumbling cliff made up of layers of different rock type.
Provides the most complete record of geological history that can be found anywhere on God's earth.
They wind their way down the narrow trail to the valley floor far below.
There's fossils of brachiopods, coral, mollusk in the Kaibab limestone. That's the topmost layer, which is a relative youngster at 250 million years old, give or take a millennium.
The trail flattens out.
Hey, Henry.
Yeah?
What do you know about John Wesley Powell?
John Wesley Powell? Who lost his right arm at the Battle of Shiloh? Went on to become a famous explorer of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Okay.
Just yanking your boot heel, my friend. I'm a regular encyclopedia when it comes to the venerable J.W. Powell.
I have to get a picture of this.
Faced with a panoramic view of the canyon, she pulls out a camera. The guide slides a bottle from his pocket and takes a few swigs.
That qualify as a creative difference?
Care to wet your whistle?
Don't mind if I do. Come on.
Lori takes the bottle and hands it over. Mr. Conway takes a swig. He squints at the label before handing it back. Lori scowls.
Not bad.
Go ahead.
No, thanks. One of us should probably stay sober.
Well, we best get a move on. It's gonna be hotter than a Texas cat house on Dollar Day by noontime.
Now that's hot.
The guide heads out and the little group continue down the slope.
Right there, tracks of Canis Latrans. There's coyote to the layman. And trickster of Navajo myth.
The mules round a tight bend in the trail and turn into a sweeping view of the wide canyon below. They ride past low bushes dotted around the dusty trail.
We should stop. Oh.
The guide and his guests dismount and look around at the cliffs behind and the valley floor below, smiling. The guide pulls a brown paper bag from his pocket. Mr. Conway leans toward it.
You want some? Put hair on your chest.
I think that ship has sailed.
While she takes photos, her husband takes a pinch of tobacco and tastes it.
Go ahead, you won't even taste a paltry amount like that. Go ahead.
Mr. Conway takes some more and stuffs a wad into his mouth.
Yeah, that might do it, tough guy.
What? This ain't nothing.
There's a glint in the guide's eyes as he smiles and walks away chewing. Conway pauses chewing and looks down. She looks on as her husband turns away and dips his head. She playfully kicks him in the butt, then takes a photo of him. He spits out the half-chewed tobacco.
Need some water. Come on, get some water.
Yeah.
Like it?
Mm.
I can see that.
The mules walk along a shallow dry riverbed running along the base of the towering cliffs.
Too shabby, huh?
The group dismount, leaving the mules to drink while they picnic.
See, when I saw him that time, some persons, you know, a person go seven lifetimes without seeing a bobcat, but I was mauled by the same one three times. And the reason I know it was the same one is because he was a cross-eyed bobcat. I guess that's what made him so ornery. Give me this.
He shows a scar on his arm.
God.
Did I ever mention I was bit by a mule?
No. Jeez.
His shoulder has a huge scar.
What did you do?
I bit him back. You know, what I would suggest, I've suggested. Y'all, take a look behind those rocks over there. I'd recommend taking a little walk back there. It's magnificent. Be worth your while. Trust me.
You wanna go?
Yeah, sure.
They hold hands and walk where Henry motioned. They enter a narrow crevice hand in hand, and gaze up at the sunlight filtering through the narrow opening above.
Oh, wow. Henry was right. This is amazing.
The dramatically curved smooth walls of the crevice twist and turn. Light filters through cracks onto the sandy floor. Still holding hands, the couple continue to explore the narrow passageways.
You think your mom will ever forgive me for dragging you off to Vegas to get married?
Yeah, no problem. It shouldn't take more than 10, 12 years.
Sounds about right.
Don't worry. I've been working on her. She'll come around.
Maybe she thinks we got married for the wrong reasons.
Well, what do you think?
They walk by a pool of light and stop, looking up toward the sun.
I feel like things are finally starting to take shape. Finally starting to form into place. I think that this could be a fresh start for the both of us.
I know that working for my dad isn't exactly a dream come true.
No, it's good. It's good. I mean, the job, the future, it's good. It's all good.
He leans in and they kiss slowly and tenderly. The sunlight pours into the crevice from an opening high above. The guide fills his water bottle and looks up as they approach.
I was about to send out a search party for you two. You know, we could either camp here, or if a person was so inclined, could show them a trove of Anasazi petroglyphs. 12,000 years old of their day. And I think I'm the only white man who's ever seen them.
Are you kidding me? We are completely inclined.
Well, a good half day's ride from here. Going's rough, water's scarce, more than most people care to bite off.
That sounds,
Perfect.
Wait a minute. Didn't I read in one of those brochures that you're required to stick to the permit?
Well, that's actually more of a suggestion than a requirement. Up to you.
Chuck.
Mr. Conway puts his arm around his wife's shoulders and they stroll away.
Listen, if you're not cool with this, you just say the word, okay? Well, we'll camp right here. I'll even name the creek after you, if you want.
He nuzzles her head.
Come on. You want to do it.
All right. Fine. Lead the way, Henry.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. Well, we better begin moving.
All right. That's yours. Was this mine? This is yours. That's yours.
They continue their ride into the ravine. The trio stop and dismount. The guide hops briskly over large boulders and takes the couple to a rock face. He stands next to JWP 1869 scratched into the rock.
JW John Wesley Powell.
The very same. Him and nine others ventured into the canyon in May of 1869. Now, 3 months and 1,000 miles later, only six of them came out.
What happened to the others? Actually, never mind. I don't want to know.
She takes out her camera. Her husband throws his arm around Henry.
Say missing and presumed dead.
The team is back on their mules on the trail.
Petroglyphs are about an hour from here. We'll make camp there.
That's good news, because my butt is killing me.
Yes, sir.
The guide takes a swig of alcohol.
Alrighty.
A snake rattles its tail. The mules rear up, throwing all three riders. The guide crawls through the dirt. The snake bites his arm and he cuts it off. Another bites his cheek and latches on. He hacks it with a knife. The mules flee.
Lori!
She winces and rolls from side to back. The guide peels away the snake head embedded in his cheek and throws it away.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right,
the couple run to Henry's side. Mr. Conway kicks the snake's body away.
Oh, my God.
Well, my arm's broke but good, and I'm snake bit twice to boot.
Those rattlesnakes?
Yeah, diamondback rattler. At least it ain't a Mojave rattler. The Mojave rattler, the venom goes straight to the spinal cord. That ain't a pleasant way.
Lori pulls out a phone.
Is there anything that I can do?
Yeah, you know what you could do? You could go see if you could corral them mules, especially the one that's got our gear on it.
All right.
I don't have a signal.
Sometimes them things work up here. Sometimes they don't. I'd be much obliged if you could maybe find some kind of piece of wood that I could use for a splint so I could immobilize my arm. It's best if I stay still for a minute.
Okay.
Otherwise, the venom's gonna go directly into my system.
Mr. Conway sprints through the canyon. He jumps into a trench and creeps up to a mule.
Come here, boy. Come here. Come here, boy. Come here. That's a good boy.
The mule runs away. He ties the mule to a tree. Lori splints Henry's arm with a stick. Mr. Conway looks at Henry, who returns eye contact and then shakes his head very slightly.
A little water.
Yeah, you best save it.
Here
Sorry. Are you supposed to cut an incision to suck out the venom?
You do that, you're inviting infection. You're supposed to keep the bite area lower than your heart. It was gonna be a little hard to do since I got bit on the face. Maybe I better stand on my head.
We gotta get you to a hospital.
No, it's too late to head back now.
Ay-ya-ya.
Bed down here. Head out at first light. We'll say we get a fire started.
He tosses the husband matches.
Yo. Wait a minute.
Is this all the matches you have left?
No, I got a lot more left in my saddlebags.
Which is on the supply mule.
Uh-huh. Yeah, along with the first aid kit, along with food and water.
Shit.
You said it, my friend.
Lori ties a sling made of Henry's jacket.
That's pretty good.
Good.
You all right?
Yeah.
Time lapse. A glaring sun sets behind dark, ominous cliffs. Night falls. The trio huddle around a campfire. Mr. Conway drops firewood and crouches by the fire.
More we can do for you, Henry?
Oh, just keep that fire going. I'm starting to get a chill.
So, Henry, what happens now?
Well, I'll probably get a fever, and I guess I'll get dizzy and blurred vision. I'll take leave of my senses at some point, or you might be hard-pressed to tell. You know, I think it'd be best to cook up them rattlers. Cupboard's bare, folks, and we can't afford to be choosy. You help me? Huh?
Henry pulls out his knife and hands it shakily to Mr. Conway. Mr. Conway shrugs and walks to the headless snake. He holds the body at arm's length and looks at it.
You just cut the connecting muscles around the anal vent to release the skin.
He raises the knife and slowly drags the blade the length of the body. Lori keeps her head turned away.
Yeah, that's good.
The fire burns brightly. Mr. Conway is chewing. He holds a stick in front of Lori with the snake meat on it.
Want some? Tastes like chicken.
No, thanks. I'm a vegetarian.
Since when?
Since I found out that thing had an anal vent.
All eyes turn to the heavens.
Indicatus lupus. Western Timbu.
The married couple slowly scan the night sky.
Looking for a date. And I guess somebody got lucky. Sounds like they're hunting.
I didn't know there were wolves around here.
Oh, yeah. They're here now. No place left for them to go. We encroached on their territory for so long. Ain't hardly nothing left for them to eat. So sometimes they go looking for food in places where...
Henry stares into the flames.
They're just looking to survive. Same as you and me. If you screw with Mother Nature, she's gonna find a way to screw you right back.
On that note, I think I'll try my cell phone again.
Sunday morning. The newlyweds are lying in the dirt next to a dying fire. Henry is writhing on the ground. There are piles of vomit. Mr. Conway runs over.
Hey, Henry. You all right?
I've been better.
He tries helping Henry roll by pulling his arm.
Not me.
I've got some chapstick in here somewhere.
Oh, baby. All right. Well, we best get a move.
Henry puts on his hat. Mr. Conway helps him up by the other arm.
Give me some chips.
Time lapse of summer clouds racing across a panoramic view of the canyon. On the valley floor, the couple are leading the guide's mule. Henry, on the mule, looks up.
Indians say crows work in tandem with wolves, leading them to injured prey. The wolves feast and the crows get the leftovers.
There it is.
A crow is standing on top of a rock.
Lucky for me, I ain't no Indian, huh?
Henry looks up as the crow flies past. Lori gets her phone out.
Hey, what else you got in that thing?
Sunscreen, Kleenex, spare battery for my camera, and gum.
Gum? Ooh, you got gum. Come on, fork it over. Yes. You want half? Thanks.
Thanks.
A bird's eye view of the Rocky Canyon. Shadows creep up the cliffs as the sun sets. They hike the canyon in daylight. Henry is passed out on the mule.
Shouldn't we be at the campground by now?
I don't know. If I'd have known our human compass was gonna go haywire, I would have paid closer attention.
Hindsight being 20/20.
Lori steps onto a rock and looks down at her husband.
We're lost, aren't we?
No, we're not lost.
She climbs higher. She turns, looking into the distance. The guide's head lolls forward and he shivers.
You're not lost!
Lori looks back at her husband who is smiling.
Feel better?
Not even remotely.
Henry slumps forward.
All right, let's make camp. We'll make it here.
Mr. Conway leads the mule and Lori climbs down. They both gather up some firewood.
What if he doesn't make it?
He stares at her and then walks off.
I'm scared, Nick.
He turns and walks back. He caresses her cheek. Nick turns and walks away.
Henry
charged the mule. It took off when he grabbed the saddle.
All right, I'll go get the mule.
It ain't. The Mother Nature's cruel. She don't care one way or another about it. But make no mistake, one way or another, she will have her day.
Henry, we'll get you to a hospital first thing in the morning, okay?
A tear runs down Lori's face. Henry's head slowly falls to the side. His eyes stare ahead. Lori cries. Squatting by Henry's motionless body, she buries her head in her knees. Nick runs to a cliff edge and looks out over the valley below with a frown. Nick continues scanning the landscape. Lori is still sitting by the body. Nick runs up to her.
He's dead.
Nick stands and looks out over the canyon. He then turns and looks at Lori. Lori stands. They embrace. In the distance, evening shadows creep up the cliffs and engulf the canyon. Lori and Nick look over their campfire at Henry.
We can't just leave him here.
Well, we can't carry his body out. Not without a mule. We should bury him.
We can notify the authorities when we get back.
They look at the body by the light of the fire.
Better get to it.
Lori and Nick pick up a rock each and approach Henry's corpse. They kneel beside Henry. They scrape at the soil with their rocks. They roll him into a shallow grave, set his hat on his chest, and start scooping dirt over him. They cover the grave with rocks as the moon rises over the cliffs. Their campfire burns brightly. Lying by the fire, Nick stares into the flames while Lori sleeps. He sees the silhouette of a wolf past the flames. Nick sits up. Nick keeps staring at the wolf and gets to his feet. No longer able to see the wolf, he creeps forward. He picks up a thick stick. He drops it onto the fire, all the while staring out into the blackness. The sun rises over the canyon. Monday. Lori and Nick are sheltering under an overhang. He caresses her head and she stirs.
Morning.
Hey. Hey. Were you awake all night?
Pretty much.
Lori pushes herself up. Her clothes are torn and dirty. Nick stands and stretches.
We should head out that way.
Nick points into the distance and then looks down at the ground and sees dog tracks. He erases them with his shoe. Lori stands and stretches. Nick wanders over to Henry's grave and looks down.
Henry.
Lori joins him. Taking her hand, Nick leads her away. Time lapse. Clouds scoot over the rocky cliffs of the massive canyon. Nick and Lori walk past a sun-bleached skull.
I want to paint the kitchen when we get back.
You want to paint the kitchen?
Why it is so boring? It's so safe, it's so nothing. It should be more vibrant, more alive, like pumpkin or brick red or something. Anything but white. You promise me that we'll paint the kitchen when we get back home.
Sure, Lori. Whatever you want.
I'm serious. You promise me that we'll paint the kitchen when we get back home.
All right, I promise.
Nick walks toward some boulders in a ravine.
I'm not gonna die out here, Nick.
He turns back towards Lori. She pulls something from her fanny pack. She holds out a stick of gum.
Thanks. I'm all full. All right, come here. Give me a piece. Come on, give me some.
She walks over to Nick and he takes the gum.
So which way?
Well, campground south of here. Sun's headed that way, so that's west. So south must be here. We go that way.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
They set off along a narrow rocky path at the foot of the cliff. Points to a soda can.
No.
He picks it up. He tips it as he raises it up high. Sand drains to the ground.
That's just plain cruel.
He throws it down and they continue walking.
How long do you think it's been since we had anything to eat or drink besides gum?
I don't know. What day is it?
Monday, I think.
I had some rattlesnakes Saturday night.
Lucky you. God, you know what I could really go for right now?
Huh.
A pizza.
I wouldn't say no to a pizza.
She pulls out her phone.
Hello? Oh, yeah, hi. I'd like to order a large pizza. And, can I get that with extra cheese?
Don't forget the pepperoni and the sausage.
Did you get that? Great. Oh, by the way, do you deliver?
You might as well try it while you have it out. You never know.
Hey, I got a signal.
Call 911.
Nick rushes back to Lori.
Oh, shit. I lost it.
Lori runs to higher ground, holding the phone high above her head.
What? What? Anything?
Damn it.
It's all right. Things are on the right track.
Nick runs up to join her. They continue up the rocky ravine.
Come on.
Cliffs tower over the hot and sweaty couple.
What?
It's gonna be checkout time at the motel pretty soon.
Something tells me we're gonna be a little late.
We told the manager we're going on a mule trip into the canyon, right?
Yeah, so?
So when we don't check out on time, she's gonna realize that something is wrong, and she's gonna notify the authorities.
What? The motel manager? She wouldn't pour water on us if we were on fire. When we don't show up by 11, she's gonna charge us for another day.
Yeah, but...
Nick's shoulders sag and he follows on behind. Their filthy clothes are soaked in sweat. They come upon a dead end. Vertical cliffs tower above them on all sides. They look up and scan the rock faces. Symbols have been scratched into the rock surface. Nick walks forward, looking up. Lori follows.
Are these the petroglyphs Henry was talking about?
He looks closer at the symbols. Many are people and animals.
No. They're, Those are back there somewhere.
Well, unless we just walked in a big circle. We're farther from the campground than when we started this morning. I can't believe I let you talk me into this.
No. I asked if you were cool with this and you said yes.
And what choice did I have? You know, it's like you're on some kind of a mission. You're always pushing and you take stupid risks. You never stop. You know, sometimes you need to face up to reality.
Oh, I'm facing it. Here it is! Lori! Huh? All the reality you want!
Yeah, thanks to you. You know, I came here only for you!
Look, here it is. Here it is, look at it. It's all ours!
Ah! Stop it!
Nick scooped a handful of dirt and threw it back on the ground. They slowly spin around, looking at the walls.
Oh, man.
He stretches his arms out wide.
Let's get out of here.
Lori shrugs. They both look back the way they came in.
It looks like we either head out that way. Or we climb.
He looks up at the top of the cliff. Lori flips open her cell phone and holds it up. He looks at part of the rock face with deep holes.
Check this out.
Okay, I'm checking it out. What am I checking out?
This is definitely doable.
Define doable.
There's plenty of handholds. Once we get to that ledge, scoot across this seam, shimmy up that crevice there, make our way up the last rock face, and voila, we're at the top. What do you think?
Shimmy? I think you've been out in the sun too long.
Hey, we can do this. It's just like that wall I used to climb in that rock gym.
You climbed it once, Nick.
Yeah, and the instructor said I was a natural.
Nick walks to the cliff face and jumps onto the rock. He finds handholds and slowly pulls himself up.
Be careful.
He climbs steadily upwards. Lori looks on.
What did I tell you? Piece of cake.
Well, we might be able to get a phone signal from up there.
I'll have a much better chance of being spotted up there than down here.
He climbs back down.
It's our best option.
Lori looks up at the cliff face, then faces Nick.
What are we waiting for?
He goes back to the cliff and begins to climb.
Here's a good one.
He pats a handhold. Lori looks up at him and starts to follow. Nick reaches up and grips onto a rock ledge. He reaches down and grabs Lori's hand.
Okay, you got me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lori dials one-handed.
I got a signal.
What?
It's ringing.
Yeah!
911.
Hello, hello? We need help. Our guide is... Oh. Hello. I lost her.
It's all right. Try again.
Nick's face tenses.
It's ringing again.
911, what's your emergency?
Hi, we're lost in... Oh, shit. Shit, I lost her again.
All right. Put on speaker. Now, hold on.
Really?
I got you. Come on. You can do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. Ready? Are you sure? Okay.
Lori brings one foot up high and leans out. Nick's hand trembles.
911. Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me?
What's your location?
We're lost in the Grand Canyon.
Oh! Gotcha!
Oh my god. Oh shit.
Lori slipped and regains her footing.
Okay.
The ledge Nick holds breaks. They go plummeting toward the ground. She lands flat on her back. He hits a rock before landing the same way. Winded, Lori tries and fails to get up. Nick squirms in the dust. Lori finally pushes herself up.
Nick. I'll feel
it. Are you okay?
My leg. Oh, this is killing me.
Okay, I'm just gonna go over here and take a look.
Okay.
She finds his foot wedged behind a huge rock.
I'm gonna lift your pant leg up to get a better look.
There's a lot of blood under the pant leg.
Is it broken?
I don't, I can't really tell.
Nick bites his lip and falls backwards. Lori pushes hard against the rock.
Pull me out! Pull me out!
Alright.
Ready?
She crouches by his head and grips under his arms.
Keep pulling! Drink! That's good!
She stops pulling. He passes out, his head in her lap. A wolf stands at the entrance to the canyon watching Nick as he comes to. Lori is not there. Nick slowly reaches for a stone. He throws it. It falls short. The wolf flinches and continues staring. Lori runs up holding a branch. The wolf runs away.
Nick! Nick! I heard you shouting.
Where the hell were you?
I thought if I can find some kind of a lever, maybe I can pull this boulder up.
She wedges the branch between the cliff wall and the rock trapping Nick. She starts pulling.
Come on!
It snaps and she goes flying back onto her back. She hurls the branch at the cliff and falls to her knees in the dirt. She sits leaning against a rock. He looks up at her and props himself up on an elbow. They look at each other. The bone is visible above his ankle.
How's it look?
Not too bad.
You've always been a shitty liar. It's okay. It's a good quality to have in a wife.
Her face contorts to a cry and she shakes her head.
It's that bad, huh?
She nods.
Any ideas?
Her tearful eyes turn to the sky.
I could go for help.
Except we're lost. What happened to your phone?
She sits up sharply and looks around as she comes to her feet. She jogs a short distance away where the phone is open in the sand. She kneels and picks up its broken pieces. She drops all the pieces into the sand.
The call went through before, though, right?
Even if it did, I didn't get a chance to tell the operator where we are. Not that I even know where we are.
But Henry got us a permit, and when he don't show up, they're gonna know that we're missing, and they're gonna send somebody to come looking for us, so it's okay.
Do you really think that Henry actually got a permit?
She walks back toward him. She plops down onto her knees in front of him. He lies back down. Puffy clouds hang over the bright canyon. Lori now leans on the rock beside Nick. His head is in her lap.
Do you remember the story of the guy who went hiking in Utah, I think it was? He fell. Or maybe he got caught in a rock slide and anyway, he got his arm pinned by a boulder. He tried everything he could to free himself, but nothing worked, so he cut off his own arm.
I think that was different.
It's not that different.
He was alone.
And I have you. We're one up on him.
No, he had no choice, but we do.
He sits himself up.
Do we?
Yes, we can, you know, still try and work something out.
He survived. I could too.
Like, you can't cut off your foot.
I know I can't. But you could.
No.
She backs away and stands up.
No.
The pain is... I've got lightning running through my veins.
I can't do that. I can't cut...
I saw a wolf.
What, here?
When you went looking for that piece of wood.
Okay. All right, leave.
Lori, it's no use.
She pushes the boulder.
No. You have to go now.
She gets the branch and wedges it by the rock face. He flops back down. She pulls his arms.
Come on.
No,
come
on. Oh, please.
Come on, help me, please.
Please, please don't.
Please don't. Sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, come on, please. Please. Oh, please.
Oh,
please. Please. Oh, please, kiss. I can't stay.
The scene fades to black. The couple now sit back to back.
Let's say that you're right. And we have to... Well, I have to cut your foot off. How exactly am I supposed to do that?
With Henry's knife?
We buried it.
He closes his eyes and hangs his head.
How could I be so stupid?
I'll go back and get the knife.
Forget it.
Come on. You said it yourself. If we don't get you out of here, then you're gonna die.
She'll know your way back to Henry's grave.
I can try.
But what if you get lost?
I'm already lost.
I'm serious.
So am I. I can do this.
Oh, I can't let you.
Well, try and stop me. I'm sorry, that wasn't funny.
Yeah, it was.
A fire crackles in the sand in front of Nick. Lori collects a pile of firewood, setting it right in front of Nick.
That should be plenty. Here. Just in case.
She hands him a sharp stick.
Great. Where are the marshmallows?
Well, I should get going. I don't want to get caught out there in the dark.
He nods.
Hey, I'll be back so fast you won't even know I was gone.
She lifts his face and kisses him.
I'll see you soon.
He closes his eyes and hangs his head.
Happy trails.
She looks over her shoulder at him and walks away. He tenses his face and sits up.
Lori?
She stops and spins around.
Be careful.
She makes a thin smile and nods once before turning and heading back toward the low brush. He inspects every angle of the sharp stick. He stabs the stick into the sand beside him and lies down. Lori slows to a stop on some large rocks. She looks up to see several crows circling in the bright sky. She grabs some small rocks and stacks them on a boulder before sprinting off again. A vulture feasts on Henry's corpse. Lori comes up on this scene at the top of a hill and then ducks behind a bush. She stands back up and launches a rock at the bird. The rock lands by the bird and it flies away. She runs up to Henry. There are dog tracks beside his corpse. She looks all around and then kneels beside the body. There's not much dirt left on him, but she brushes it away. She gets the knife and pulls his whole belt off. She grabs a folded slip of paper.
Sorry, Henry.
She takes off the direction she came from. Nick writhes on the ground. The fire still blazes.
Ah!
Lori turns and watches a crow soar through the sky before continuing to run. A dusky view of the canyon is shown. The view sweeps across the desert plains and over to Nick, who is passed out when Lori comes to his side. She places a hand on his heart and then presses her ear to his chest. She strokes his hair. She looks at his trapped foot. The flesh is dry and rotted. She gags and shuts her eyes. She removes the knife and her fanny pack and sets them on the ground. She takes out the folded paper and unfolds it. It is a permit. She sets her hands down heavy in her lap and throws her head back. She sets the permit on the ground. She steps down into the crevice by her husband's foot and looks at his face. He is still passed out. She starts working with a knife. She gingerly cuts his pant leg and sets the knife down. She tears his pant leg a little higher with her fingers. This flesh is several shades of dark red, and there is clotted blood in the broken skin. She unbuckles the belt and takes the knife sheath off of it. She wraps the belt around his thigh and tightens it. She digs in his pocket and grabs the matchbook. There are 3 matches left. She starts a small fire with one and then wipes the knife blade with her shirt and holds it over the fire. She kneels by his leg, bringing the blade next to his skin and shutting her eyes tight. His mouth moves a bit. She doesn't notice and steadies the knife again. She looks at him.
Hey.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, don't be. How are you feeling?
He raises his brows and presses his bottom lip up.
Can't complain. How's Henry?
She shakes her head slightly and her bottom lip trembles. He looks over at the permit.
What's this?
It's our permit.
What's it say?
That we'll be staying at Havasupai Campground. Returning on Monday, May the 28th.
So even if they go looking for us, they won't know where to look.
She blinks away tears. He crumples the paper in his fist. He tosses the permit into the fire.
Did you sterilize it?
Yeah, I did.
That's good. Wouldn't want to get an infection. I won't hold it against you.
Promise?
Cross my heart. Hope to die.
She grabs a small stick and brings it to his mouth.
Here, you have to bite on this.
I love it when you talk dirty.
He opens his mouth and accepts the stick. Lori settles in by his leg. She places one hand above the wound and cuts into the flesh with her other hand. Thick opaque yellow fluid oozes from the incision. She winces and gags. Nick's face contorts. Lori reaches back and dusts dirt off a rock. She rocks back and forth a bit as she steadies the rock in the air before bringing it down onto the knife. The blade goes in deep. Nick's eyes roll back in his head. She runs to his head and pulls under his arms. His body separates from his amputated limb. She drags him a little farther. He passes out and she cradles his head and sets him gently on the ground. She runs over to the knife and holds the blade in the fire. She presses it against the open bleeding flesh of the stump, pinching her eyes shut and turning her head to the side as she does so. She presses an ear against Nick's heart and closes her eyes. Clouds sweep over the canyon, turning day into night. The light of the fire flickers over them. Lori squirms a bit in place by her husband, using his arm as a pillow. Her eyes pop open and she lifts her head up. She slowly props herself onto her elbows and looks all around. A couple wolves chase each other nearby. Lori gathers some sticks and tosses them on the fire. Wolves gather around and look at the couple. Lori throws a rock at them.
Get out of here!
One runs off. She throws another stone.
Leave us alone!
She grabs more sticks and puts them on the fire. She kneels by Nick and brings her face close to his.
I have to go and get more wood. Wish me luck.
She looks out into the darkness. She picks up the knife. She grabs the sheath. She sheathes the knife and takes a deep breath. She tucks the knife into the back of her jeans and heads out. She makes her way through the desert, picking up dry wood as she goes and tiptoeing from one to the next. She stops and looks around. She gets back to task. A wolf stops and looks down at her from a rock above and in front of her. She looks up at it. It licks its chops. She sets down what she's gathered very slowly. She retrieves the knife while backing away. The beast leaps onto her. She is flattened to her back and works to push it away. She drives the knife into it and it runs away. She looks around and gets to her feet, scooping the firewood back up, and sprints back to camp. She throws the wood on the fire and looks every direction. Stars dot the night sky. She wraps a white cloth on his amputated stump.
Oh,
She kneels by Nick's head and takes his hand.
Did you?
She nods. He rolls his head around and squeezes his eyes tight.
When we get back, I'm not gonna take that job with your father.
You're not?
I'm just gonna buy running shoes from a one-legged salesman.
One-legged joggers?
She smiles. He looks down and then her smile disappears as they both start to cry.
I never should have gotten us into this mess. We don't belong here.
They each bring a hand to the back of the other's neck. She rests on his chest. Clouds drift through the sky under the moon. Lori starts to pick her head up. She sits up sharply and looks around. She runs the few steps to the fire and starts loading it with more wood. She grabs the knife and a piece of clothing and starts shredding it. She ties a strip of material around the end of a stick. Wolves run around nearby. She now has two sticks with fabric tied at the top, which she holds in the fire. She stabs the torch into the ground and sets up more torches. There is now a semicircle of torches around the fire and Nick. She lights another torch and grips the knife in her other hand while wolves continue running about. She waves the torch around in front of her.
Go on! Get away, you bastard!
One wolf runs up to her. It jolts back each time she swings the torch but otherwise does not move. More wolves arrive, standing just past the arc of torches. They all react the same way to her swinging the stick of fire. They start to turn and walk away, but then these three wolves continue their approach toward Lori. She keeps waving the stick. One dog bares its teeth. It leaps onto Lori. She drops the torch. She slices her attacker and it runs. Another takes slow steps toward Lori and licks its lips. It leaps onto her and she drops the knife. It starts biting her leg, dragging her away from the fire. She gets a hold of the knife. It keeps pulling a second before she plunges the knife in. One leg of her jeans is torn all the way up. She looks up and watches the whole pack run off. Now daylight, Lori stares at the smoldering campfire ashes. Nick's head is in her lap. A dead wolf lies just past the fire pit. The rocky features of the landscape are various shades of red under the white hot sun. A sweaty and sunburnt Lori drags Nick behind her. It is Tuesday. What started out as her jeans are now shorts. Nick's body rests on a stretcher with two pieces of wood as the sides that Lori grips onto. Her head is hanging a little lower as she goes. Nick opens his eyes as his fingers drag through the sand. The clouds above him are bleach white in the blue sky. His lips are dry and cracked. The white bandage on his leg is stained deep red. Lori collapses to her knees.
Is that water?
We don't have any water.
I'll check the mule.
We don't have a mule, remember? Here. Here, you should try and eat something.
She pulls something dark out of her fanny pack.
Open your mouth.
What is it?
It's roast wolf.
He rotates his head up and looks at her.
I thought you were vegetarian.
It comes and goes. Here, open your mouth. Come on, you gotta eat something.
I wouldn't say no to a stick of gum.
Live it up. Take the whole thing.
She folds up a piece of gum and puts it in his mouth. Just one corner is in his mouth. He chews a few times and lets it drop from his mouth onto the ground.
I'm sorry. I wish there was something more I could do for you.
I can't tell where I end and everything else begins. I feel like I'm disappearing.
Hey, you're not disappearing. You're right here.
I'm not me anymore.
The scene was a bit blurry when he spoke.
I'm all of this. I'm everything. And you know what? It's okay.
No, it's not okay. Hey, I'm gonna get you out of here, but I need you to stay strong. You can't give up on me. Hey, I am serious. I'm in a really lousy mood, and you don't want to piss me off, okay? You got it?
I got it.
Good. Now let's get the hell out of here.
She steps between the stretcher poles and slowly starts to squats them up. They snap. She flops onto the ground.
Leave me, huh?
No. Forget it.
You'll never make it out of here with me.
She turns to face him and starts lifting his head.
Please. Please don't. Please.
She sits him up and starts dragging him back by his armpits.
That hurts too much.
That's just your inner wimp talking.
Stop.
No, if we stop, we die.
She sets him down and sits by his head. She stands and walks away. A wolf sniffs the ground. It and the rest of its pack take off running. Lori drives a branch into the ground beside her husband. She brushes dirt around its base with her shoe.
Get up. Come on, get up. Up.
She helps him to a seated position and puts her arms under his. He makes it up to standing. His left arm rests in a fork in the branch. His right arm is over Lori's shoulder. They walk side by side.
I get it. Tough love, right?
You better believe it.
Never been a fan.
A wolf stops to sniff the stretcher and keeps running. The rest of the pack does the same. He lets the crutch fall and she supports his weight on the way to the ground. She dusts off her hands and starts peeling off the bandage on his stump. The clotted blood on the end is dark red. She turns her head away and grimaces. She takes the knife out and cuts a hole in her tank top near her waist. She starts tearing it. She finishes tearing all the way around and cuts it to make a strip with two ends. She gently pushes away the white shirt that was the old bandage. She slips the strip of her pink tank top under the stump. She tenderly brings it up over the open wound and ties it.
That's a good look for you.
He shrugs his eyebrows at her. She lies by his side.
Jumps your bones.
Some other time.
I never knew that you were so brave.
I'm not. I'm scared shitless.
That doesn't mean you're not brave. That just means you're smart. Larry.
Forget it. I'm not leaving you here.
I'm sorry, Larry.
Shut up.
I mean it, Larry.
You really know how to get under my skin.
That's one of the things you love about me.
Actually, it's one of the things I'm gonna change about you.
So I have that to look forward to.
He caresses her arm.
Don't be sad.
Both lie on their backs with their eyes closed.
We should have stayed in bed. And just looked at the picture every once in a while.
I told you.
Or gone to Hawaii.
Hawaii's nice.
I'll bet that's where they're going.
Who?
He points up at a plane passing overhead. Lori watches a crow fly by. She flips up onto her knees. She heaves him onto his feet. She lets him go. He faceplants.
Hey, come on, come on. Come on, we gotta get up. We can't stay here another night. Come on.
She looks back as a wolf runs up.
Get up, please.
She pulls on Nick's arms. She lets Nick go and readies the knife. She faces the wolf in a low stance.
Go! Go on, go!
It paces in front of her. More come in from all around. Behind her, one starts pulling at Nick's pant leg. His eyes remain closed. She looks over her shoulder and runs to Nick.
Get away from him! Come on, get away from him!
They flee. She brings a hand to his face.
Come on, Nick, we have to go.
His eyes remain closed. The wolves circle up again. She kneels beside Nick and looks at the canines all around. A scene of the couple at an altar is shown.
Until death do you part.
They kiss in a chapel. Lori looks down at her husband in the desert. She touches his face tenderly. She places her hands over his mouth and nose tightly. His chest jerks a bit. She slides her hands away and sits back on her heels. She clutches her stomach and sobs silently. Nick is motionless. She takes his hand in hers. She brings his hand to her face. The wolves start closing the gap between their circle and the Conways. A rescue helicopter makes its way in. The wolves dart off as the helo lowers. Rescue workers run up to the couple. They get to work on Nick while Lori continues wailing.
Are you okay? We've got to get you to a hospital. Do you understand me? Did you make an SOS call yesterday?
She continues crying and does not respond.
We need to get her some oxygen. She's going into shock. Okay, ma'am, I just need you to look me in the eyes. Just look me in the eyes. It's going to be okay. We're going to get you out of here.
She nods.
Look me in the eyes. It's going to okay? Just slow down your breathing. Okay?
She and the rescue workers look down on Nick. The view slowly pans higher and higher into the atmosphere. The rescue location is now a deep crevice in the expansive desert. The crevice is now a tiny crack among dry mountainous terrain. It looks just like the photo in their hotel room. In loving memory of Betsy Mackey. Credits. Co-producers Julie Hara, Michelle Lovett, Larry Collins. Unit production manager Betsy Mackey. First assistant director Adam Lawson. Second assistant director Lalita Sujavasan. Cast. Aon Bailey as Nick, Yvonne Strahovski as Lori, Will Patton as Henry, Wendy Worthington as motel manager, Andrea Marcellus as clerk, Christopher Sweeney as ranger, Solomon Loop as helicopter pilot, Ed Tracy as helicopter pilot too. Stunt coordinator, Phil Colada. Stunts, Simone Bargetza, Thomas DuPont, Tanya Forsberg, James Heisner, Hugh O'Brien, Casey O'Neill, Norb Phillips. Credits continue. Thank you.
Thank you.